like pulling practices.
I'm a big believer in regularity. Get up, get your heavy lifting done. You know, it's, and we've always done it. I mean, you look at even during the season, you know, we lift early in the morning. So I think early morning work's important.
So then, like, your philosophy behind all the different types of schedules will go to night, and then you'll go to kind of your semi-regular season. Is that, what's the theory behind that then?
We play night games in preseason. We obviously play a lot of night games, national games during the season, so we need to work under the lights. So we need to be on that, you know, have a feel for that time clock, how that day feels, as we all have experienced in the past, whether you're playing Sunday night or Monday night, that there's a lot of time you're in the hotel and, you know, those types of things. So when you go to the night, you know, we have the night practices Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with Saturday being family night, that those are very long days. Those are actually the hardest schedules to be on. It's fun to practice under the lights in front of the fans. It's a tremendous atmosphere that we have here, but you know, that's a long day. I mean, that's a very long day, and our football team needs to feel that and experience that, because you know we're going to go through it in the season with the Monday night games. You know, so that's why we do that, and then really after Saturday, we go into an in-season schedule, which will get us on the regularity that we'll be on the rest of the season.
In the morning, where you have it, so do the players watch the practice at night or in meetings at night, and then at 11 o'clock, do they watch them in the morning?
Well, the way we do it is, we practice, we correct. So we'll practice here today, then we'll have lunch. The veterans will lift the lunch. The rookies are lifting right now. We're finishing their lift this morning. They're up at 6:30. So lunch, and then we go to a corrections meetings, you know, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So we'll review everything that went on during practice, get it all corrected. Then there'll be dinner, and then we'll install at night for the next day. So we always install, practice, correct, and that's why the days are so long.
And then when you go to 11:45 and do the correction in the morning?
Well, yeah, we start with the meetings first. So we'll install, practice, and then correct in the afternoon.
And Mike, yesterday you mentioned with the safety group being one of the deepest that you had. When you look at Morgan, what kind of roles he had in kind of helping those young guys sort of come along here in the last few years?
Well, Morgan Burnett's a premier player for our defense because, you know, he plays multiple positions. And then the other part of it is, you know, he's clearly one of the top leaders on our football team and definitely on defense. So he has such strong presence and commands respect in the locker room. He knows the defense in and out. I mean, if you just watch him communicate during practice, he has a great understanding of what's going on. Use him as example after the first padded practice because, you know, he knows how to fly around and practice the right way and very fundamentally strong. I just think the world of Morgan Burnett.
And did they end up deciding that Adams needs to have surgery on that foot?
Correct. He had surgery and everything was successful, so he'll be out multiple weeks.
Mike, going back to the safety thing, you said yesterday, you know, Josh Jones has made a pretty good impression here early on. You like what you're getting from Bryce. Haha's a Pro Bowler, and you love Morgan Burnett. In the category of coaches, good problems to have, how do you figure out how to get Josh onto the field? Is there a challenge there? Because you have so many good options?
No, not at all. That's. I think you have to make sure you take a look at that position. I mean, it's not just a safety. You know, safety position. In my view of how I approach football, you know, I look at pass rushers, corners, and safeties. Those guys are critical to how you scheme your defense. So the safety position, particularly Morgan, you know, Bryce, and obviously Josh, they play multiple positions. So the league is. I know in our experience, we've been playing 80% sub defense now for 5+ years. So the ability of those guys to play the nickel, the dime, you know, the sub linebacker and free safety and strong safety, you know, that speaks volumes. You know, and Morgan does that. We're not asking Josh and Bryce to actually do as much as that. So that body type, that position, the importance of the safety position, I think is critical. To the way you need to play defense in today's NFL.
So you feel like you can find somewhere to get Josh some opportunities based on?
Well, I think that all those guys will have opportunities. Yeah, I that's the way I foresee or, you know, I anticipate offenses are going to go against us on, you know, our defense, and we'll be in sub-personnel groups. you know, a lot of the time.
Is it possible to get all those guys, other than third and 10, which is kind of the obvious thing, is it possible to get the four safeties on the field in kind of a regular situation, or then are you just going to get too small? Or?
Did you just listen to my last answer?
Well, I know, but I'm just trying to, I think it's kind of obvious you could probably do it on third and 10, but could you do it?
Yeah, I mean, 80% sub defense on first, second, third, and fourth down. I mean, it's, you know, sub personnel, five DBs or more, 80% of the time is the way we've been playing. So, you know, yes, I think there'll be a lot of opportunities to get those guys on the field.
Mike, an inside linebacker, besides being a play caller, do you see a leader that's emerging? It seems like those guys are still pretty young. Anybody stepping up so far?
Oh, definitely. I just watched the communication and the ability to, you know, when the offense shifts, motions and so forth, you can see the adjustments and the communications. It's so much better than it was a year ago. So, yeah, I'm really happy with just the step that we took yesterday in practice. I thought we took a step as a football team. We need to take it today. So that's the focus. Because, you know, first 3 days are, you know, it's kind of like, I guess what it's supposed to be, but there wasn't enough clean looks and quality work. But I thought we definitely took a step yesterday, and all those guys are doing an excellent job. I feel very good about that inside linebacker group.
Mike, Dean Lowry, you see more punch in his game than year two?
Absolutely. I think if you're, you know, looking for an excellent example, there's a number of them out there of a player taking a jump in his second year. You know, Dean may be, you know, near the top of the list. So bigger, faster, stronger, obviously anticipating the ability to, you know, to play the different techniques up and down the defensive line. I think he's off to an excellent start. He looks really good.
Mike, I know how much you valued Rob Davis's contribution here. You guys hired another former player. What does it mean to have Gray in that role and continue what Rob did?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Rob Davis, you know, he blazed the trail here. Did an incredible job for us, really. And that would definitely be echoed in our locker room, I think, if you ask those guys. So there's definitely a standard, and that's been set for, you know, director of player engagement and going through the interview process. You know, frankly, I did not know Gray. Obviously, Gray was here in the past, but he came in and just knocked it out of the park in the interview process. So I know just through my experience, and we had some excellent candidates, I was extremely impressed with him and his presentation. So I think he'll come in here and be himself. You know, he's going to have to do it from his platform and his personality. But he's, you know, he's got an excellent guy that he's following in Rob Davis, and I feel great about the hire. I think he's going to be a great fit for us.
Mike, you said multiple weeks for Rob Davis. I don't know if that brings him back to camp or not, but how much of an evaluation have you been able to get on him without the pass?
Not much. I mean, I think it's obvious. I mean, but he's going to be fine. He's going to get better, and you know, he's young. It's unfortunate, but you know, we have a chance to get it corrected and move on. He'll be fine.
Two more, please.
Mike, after all the years of Mason having the same holder and snapper, how do you feel he's kind of rolled with the changes over the last couple of years there?
You know, you have to give Mason a lot of credit. You know, that's a challenge. There's no doubt about it, and you know, he's got a lot of patience, a lot of professionalism, you know, working with those guys. I think he definitely has the right, you know, the combination of demeanor and experience to work through that, but it's definitely a challenge.
Mike, how have you felt about the play of your backup quarterbacks so far in camp?
Backup quarterbacks? Well, I'll say this. You know, I'm with them the majority of the time, so I really like our room. We had some extra time last night just based on our you know, our schedule to get through the fundamental tape and just hit all the drills. So all three of them are making improvements there. You can see it in their footwork and not only just the decision making, but the anticipation and the quicker decisions. So I think that all those guys have taken a step there. Brett's doing some really good things that you can see from last year through the spring to now that he's particularly in footwork, decision, getting the ball out. But if I was going to be critical, I think we can definitely work to get the ball out a little quicker during pressure situations and things like that. And some of that is a product of the OTA practices where, you know, you're not as, you know, the urgency to get it out as quick, and now you got pads on, things are flying around your feet more and so forth. So, you know, that'll be an emphasis for us with those three guys. But I really like the progress that, you know, Joe and Ty and Brett are making.
Mike, as you just asked, think about ways to utilize some of your premier players. I remember you saying that injury history is something you have to factor in when you think about the roles that they can fill in a given season. So with outside linebackers like Clay and Nick that have had some injury problems, how do you balance wanting to utilize them as much as you can without betting the house too much on guys that have struggled to stay healthy?
Well, I think that's really what this training camp phase and really going back into the spring, it really takes care of that. So you have personnel groupings that you build, you know, throughout, you know, March, April, as you evaluate what you did in the past, you know, project how, you know, what you're going to have going into the OTAs. Then obviously then once the draft is concluded, you have a good idea of who's on your team. So it really the way we're practicing with the personnel groupings, you know, it's not as much about scheme. It's really how you group your personnel of, you know, who's coming and, you know, where and who's playing one position, who's playing two positions. That's really all part of the playbook and projecting what you're going to do this year.
Hey, Mike, quick, going back to Mike's question about the inside linebackers, you're playing 80% sub. You got Morgan playing a ton of inside linebacker snaps for you. In what ways are those traditional inside linebackers still important in what you do defensively?
Oh, they're very important. It's, you know, they're the key communicator. There's still, you know, sub personnel still has two linebackers that, you know, in the game, special teams. It's, you know, that body type is a primary, you know, focus for special teams. So yeah, those guys are very important to our success.